Yes, you're listening to World Football Daily here. It is the midweek show. It's Wednesday. There is still football going on all around Europe. And one person who's going to be trying to sink their teeth into as much of it as possible is our first guest on the line today, Mr. George Mateus of Mad About Football, another one of the boys invading World Football Daily in midweek. George, it's a pleasure to have you on the show for your World Football Daily debut, mate. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, A little nervous to have my debut on World Football Daily, but I definitely appreciate you guys having me on and looking forward to talking to you. Thank you very much for having me, for sure.
It's always a pleasure to have you boys on, and you're welcome on any time. You can hijack the airwaves if you want and just bust your way into any of the shows that we're recording, man. We always enjoy getting you boys on. George, it is your debut, as you say, and you know, before we set you off onto the pitch, before we bring you off the bench and set you into the game, let's find out a little bit about this this superstar new boy that's coming onto the show today. George, I mean, what's your kind of background in terms of watching football? When did you really get into it? Has it been ever since you were a young lad?
Yeah, absolutely. My background, my family is from Haiti. My parents are Haitian. I'm born in the States. So Haiti, that's the national sport, is soccer, is football. And so growing up, my parents used to pump my head full of stories about Pelé, because that's basically the national team of Haiti, because Haitian history, soccer history, we've only made it to one World Cup. So I grew up liking Pelé and Brazil. And then with the advent of the internet and then all these soccer channels now, over the last, 10, 15 years, I've been able to learn and read up more about European football, so, and South American club football, just football all over the world in general. So I've been a fan since I was a little kid. I played when I was a little kid, you know, in the little 8-year-old, 10-year-old leagues. I used to be a midfielder, but I didn't have any stamina. So they would just put me in as a defense, and I would just try to run and kick the ball. I had no skills whatsoever. But it always just was in the blood. It just seemed like it was a lot of fun to play. It's been my favorite sport since forever. And that's how I got started in terms of loving the game. Now, in terms of broadcasting, basically my career started when I got into Gold TV. I mean, I had radio show in college when we were both, me and Mike, were at the University of Miami. And that's how we started the idea of doing soccer broadcasting. And then it just grew from there. So it's just been a passion. It seems like it's in my blood. My grandfather played soccer in the local Haitian leagues when he was younger. So it just seems like kind of fits with the Metellus family style, you know?
So we're really bringing out, off the bench here, we're bringing a seasoned veteran into the game rather than on his debut, rather than a plucky young kid who's just made his way up through the youth team. George, it's a pleasure to have you on WFD today. What leagues do you look out for in terms of international football that you watch? I mean, do you mainly focus on Europe yourself? Obviously, there's the big attraction and the big stars. Or do you delve into a lot of South America? Or are you North American focused?
Well, I think for myself personally, working at Gold TV, we've become very much knowledgeable about Argentina, Brazil, Uruguay. The first league that I really started to follow that I liked myself, it was Spain, La Liga. Over the years, I've grown to like the Bundesliga, I've grown to like, obviously, EPL and City. The guys are crying because they don't understand that you can have more. But my favorite teams, I like Inter Milan and City. I like Arsenal in England, and I like Barcelona in Spain. So when you decipher and you figure out those are your favorite teams, those are the teams you focus on, or the leagues you tend to focus on more. But working at Gold TV, you get an appreciation for Argentina and Brazil and Uruguay and South American leagues, the Copa Libertadores. So those are the leagues that I like to follow the most.
You've picked out three sides there, and you've picked out Inter Milan, Arsenal, two of the sides that I like the least right here, George. I don't know if we're going to get on at all with this, man. I'm a Rossoneri man, you know. No, George, so you say you love South American football. What is it that attracts you to kind of South American football as well as European football? Is it just that kind of flair that comes with you know, watching the Brazilian and Argentinian leagues especially?
I think it's the flair. I think there's a kind of raw passion for the game that makes it very interesting. Obviously, the highway of talent that goes from South America to Europe. A lot of times in Europe, when you see these South American players, they're polished, and it's their time to flourish. That's what really make their name in Europe. But in South America, you see them when they're younger, maybe when they're a little rougher around the edges. And that's very interesting to me, to see how they develop, how they progress from South America to Europe. Or even now, you're getting some South American players that go to the MLS as well. So I think that's what I like about South American football, the history of the game, that kind of raw emotion for the game, and then to see that youthful progression and then to see where they were. Let's say, for example, you have a Falcao who started at River Plate. You say, wow, at River Plate, he was so-so, or I was never impressed about how he played at River Plate. But then he got to Europe, he got to Porto, got to Atletico Madrid, and he became a beast. So that's part of the appeal of South American football.
I think that's definitely a new adjective to describe him on this show, but I like it there. Falcao, just the beast in front of goal there.
Yeah.
you say you're an Inter Milan fan, George, and Wesley Schneider's in the papers kind of every day, seemingly stalling over this move to Galatasaray. What are your thoughts on Schneider and his actions surrounding this Galatasaray move? Because the Turkish club are getting pretty frustrated with this.
Yeah, I really believe in my mind he wants to go to Manchester United. I know that's been the main team that's rumored to want him. I think it may be in his mind. Obviously, I don't know what he's thinking. I wish I was maybe his agent or something like that. I'd get paid pretty well. But I think Galatasaray might be a step down. So they made the move. They paid the transfer fee. They're just negotiating with him, obviously. I know Massimo Moratti has made like a deadline. I think it was supposed to be Monday, this past Monday.
Yeah.
And it just extended. So I really think he would go to the EPL and Manchester United, a big team like that. I think for him, he's thinking that maybe Galatasaray is a step down from Inter Milan. I don't know, but that's my impression of it.
But obviously, I think anybody would say it is a step down from someone like Inter Milan in terms of prestige of a club. But do you think it's right with Schneider playing with this smaller side slightly? Because if he didn't want to go there, he could surely just flat out refuse and end the contract talks there and the move would just be off.
Yeah, absolutely. It does show a little bit of indecisiveness. You like to see him make up his mind quicker and not leave these teams hanging. He can pretty much go where he wants, especially with his reputation. I know wages, with the teams that are going to be interested, the wages might not be an issue. I really think he needs to make up his mind soon, you know, very quickly, so that Inter Milan can move on. They could use the transfer funds to get someone else to fill his shoes or shore up the defense or something like that. I don't know why. I just have a feeling he's holding out for an EPL club, one of the top five EPL clubs.
Who would you like to see him go to? I mean, you're an Inter Milan fan. You're going to have to see one of your star players moving on. Yeah. If he could land at a club, which one would you like to see him at?
Oh my goodness! I got to say Arsenal. That's just strictly as a fan. That has absolutely no objectivity whatsoever. Just strictly as a fan. I'd have to say Arsenal. I think they could use another playmaker to go along with Santi Cazorla, although I think the main problem with Arsenal is they don't have an enforcer. They're missing someone like a Patrick Vieira, maybe even Alex Song, somebody like that. It's kind of a hard-marking midfield to someone to back up and protect Jack Wilshere. That's my opinion. But as someone who loves Arsenal and is paining with the way they've been struggling this season, I wouldn't mind him going there.
What would the Nerazzurri need to do to improve, to find more consistency then? I think we all have an opinion on everything that would happen at Arsenal for it to change around, and they seem to differ. But Inter Milan, it's kind of harder to put your finger on what's really wrong with that side at the moment.
Yeah, I think Inter Milan, the only issue with Inter Milan that I think is okay is up front. They have a fantastic goal-scoring Diego Milito. I think that they could use a little more toughness in the midfield. I think the back line needs to be much more solid. I think that's really where their problem is, that defensive back line and the holding midfield. I think that's where the issues. They have some good attacking midfield. Freddy Guarín is very good. So I think that to me is the issue right there, that holding midfield in the back line. Because we all know in Italy, even though over the last few seasons, the Serie A has become more attack-minded, more goals scored, but you got to play the defense. Italy is still, they still hang their hat on their defense. And I don't think that Inter Milan's defense is still very shaky. So that's, I think, the main issue that they have to clean up.
George, there's so much going on in the busy January transfer window and everything going on in club football. We've almost forgotten here on World Football Daily, and we finally mentioned it yesterday. The African Cup of Nations is starting this weekend as well. You were saying before we came on air that it's one of the tournaments you find the most interesting. What is it about the African Cup of Nations? Because it happens every 2 years. Surely it's not... I mean, do you consider it to be as important as things like the European Championships, the Copa South, the South American Cup as well?
Yeah, as the Euro and the Copa America. Yeah, I believe so. Obviously, because it's the tournament that feeds into the Confederations Cup, the timing of it, the fact that it's in the middle of the European club season and a lot of players are going to be pulled from their club teams in order to participate in this event. And because this year specifically, you have three big teams that are not in the final tournament. You have no Senegal, no Cameroon, no Egypt. So, I mean, that's huge. That those are three big clubs that have won the tournament before, big national teams, I should say, that have won the tournament before. So I find it so intriguing that every year there's a team that surprises people. You can't, you know, you think of your traditional powers, your Ghana, your Nigeria, your Cote d'Ivoire, and they disappoint. It seems like another team will come out of nowhere. Case in point, last 2012 when Zambia won it. It just seems so unpredictable. Copa America and South America, I know Juan and Mike might not like me saying this, but Copa America, you can almost, it's like Argentina, Brazil, and then whoever else. Euros, it's recently with Spain, Italy, Germany, and maybe the Dutch if they don't have their issues within their team with the psyches and the egos. You kind of know who the best teams are. In the African Cup of Nations, it's not clear. And I think that makes it a lot more interesting tournament.
It was a thrilling finale to the last one, I have to say, with Zambia winning on penalties in that incredible shootout. When you look at this year's tournament, who are the teams that for you are ones to maybe watch out for that might be able to sneak up from maybe a pot two or pot three team from the draw that we had?
Well, we did the show with Gary Al Smith, that's our authority on African soccer, African football. So I'm going to kind of borrow a little bit of what he said, because when I need my knowledge, I go to him. He pointed out Congo, Democratic Republic of Congo. He pointed out Algeria. Algeria has Sofiane Feghouli, who plays for Valencia, La Liga player. Very good team. They're in the group of death with Cote d'Ivoire, Tunisia, and Togo. So that might be tough for them, but Algeria, Congo, Democratic Republic of Congo. Those two teams are dark horses with a lot of talent. So those are two teams to watch out for that could sneak up on the tournament and maybe pull what Zambia, do what Zambia did last year.
Who's your money on, though? I mean, you've got the kind of the outsiders maybe like that. Who's your money on for this tournament, man?
Well, if I was betting dollars, then I would gamble. But if I had euros, I'd keep them in my pocket. You know, euro money. I don't know. If I had to bet, I would say that's a tough one. I think I'm trying to be decisive here, so you have to forgive me if I take a little bit too much time.
No worries.
But I think Cote d'Ivoire, they seem to have the talent. They've come up short recently. And it just seems like maybe this is their year. I think Cote d'Ivoire, Ghana as well. Ghana and Cote d'Ivoire are the two big names. Ghana, last year, they didn't bring their A squad. It brought a lot of youth players, and they made a deep run into the tournament. But I'm going to go with the Cote d'Ivoire. I think Cote d'Ivoire it seems like this is their year. Another team to look out for is Mali. Mali made it to the semifinals last year. Seydou Keita, who used to be for Barcelona, now he's playing in China, influential midfielder. But I'm going to go with Cote d'Ivoire. I think Didier Drogba, he's going to get it done. He's going to, that mojo that he got or that he captured from the Champions League final, I think he's going to bring it over to the African Cup of Nations and get Cote d'Ivoire a long-deserved or long-awaited championship.
God, that's a long wave that Didier Drogba of emotion that he's riding from the Champions League, especially with so much going on around him and his future as well. Let's talk about Didier Drogba then, because he was one of the veteran players at Chelsea and very disruptive on occasion under Andre Villas-Boas at that team. What do you make of his impact on the national squad? Because it's so much more positive than it seemed to be as it was at Chelsea.
You know what? I think it's just, to break it down in the simplest term, I think it's just patriotism. Really, maybe it's just patriotism. Maybe with Cote d'Ivoire, it's not about the wages or the club. Maybe it's just about glory for his nation. So maybe that's what it is. Cote d'Ivoire has underachieved over the last few years. This is supposedly the golden generation with him and the Touré brothers, Kolo and Yaya. So I think it's just patriotism. I know that's a kind of a simple, maybe even political answer, but it just seems like Cote d'Ivoire, they have so much talent. This is their golden generation of players. This is their time. And maybe he senses that. And he's like, he's 35, 34 years old. So This might be the last African Cup of Nations. And as you mentioned, and as we saw with Chelsea, he can be inspiring when he puts his mind to it. He's inspiring in eliminating Senegal in the qualifying stage. So I think that it's just patriotism and the fact that this is the Cote d'Ivoire's last real shot at claiming African Cup of Nations glory.
Do you think that's something that's lacking in football and a lot of international football, the patriotism of some players? Because it's been thrown at plenty of English players and other European nations as well, the Dutch especially, that they play better for their clubs than they do for their country because they lack that patriotism. Do you think that's a fair judgment to make?
Ooh, I think they love their country. I think what happens is they let a lot of external factors blind them from the honor of playing for a national team. Patriotism encompasses so many things. So I don't know if they aren't patriotic if they don't play well for their national team or if there's all kinds of drama. But I think that a lot of outside factors that should not bother them when it comes to playing for their national team, they let that bother them. They let a coach's style or the fact that maybe they're not getting paid on time or something like that. They shouldn't play for free on the national team, but if they're a little late with the wages, it shouldn't be a massive issue. I know Cameroon had a situation where it went months. Okay, then you can understand that. But to go the patriotism issue, there's so many factors that kind of determine how patriotic you are. I don't know if that is that makes any sense, but
I get that.
You get it? Okay, yeah, because it just seems like there's a lot of factors that a lot of the players outside of the love of the shirt block their thinking, and that affects their play on the field. But I think any player would, most player, as far as I know, a lot of players would love to play for their national teams. And I mean, for example, in Brazil, a lot of players are going back to Brazil because they think it gives them an opportunity to play for the national team. So it's a situation where it's an individual mindset where they let a lot of external factors block them from the fact that it's an honor to put on their national team shirt.
Especially we've seen that with Emmanuel Adebayor and the Togo national team as well, apparently having another fallout with his FA. There's so much surrounding, though, that Togo side after what happened in 2010, I believe it was, with the attack on their bus. It's something for Togo that they want to kind of put in the past now and set a goal for the future for Togo national team football. How important is Emmanuel Adebayor in creating that for this national team side? Because he is the outstanding factor for them.
Yeah, Togo, he is their talisman. He's their key player, their best forward, their best finisher. He's going to be very important. He has to score a ton of goals and he has to be near flawless for Togo to succeed in this tournament. They're in that group of death, as I mentioned before, with Tunisia and Cote d'Ivoire and Algeria. So he's going to have to be absolutely massive throughout this tournament. Not many people are giving Togo a chance, so they could sneak under the radar and surprise some people, but he's going to have to play out of this world for Togo, to me, to advance out of that group.
George, I know we've been bouncing around quite a lot here in this very brief chat that we've had today on Wednesday's edition of World Football Daily, but let's get focused now. What is coming up on Mad About Football this week and in the coming weeks or so?
Well, as far as I know, I believe on Thursday, or which is tomorrow, when you have a job, you know, all the days run together. It's like on Saturday. I don't understand it. But tomorrow, We're gonna have an interview with the Mexican Soccer Show, which is a new show coming on to the World Football Daily docket, if you will. So that should be interesting. Talk a little Liga MX and El Tri, because World Cup qualifying in CONCACAF is coming up soon. And so we're gonna be talking to them, and we're gonna keep the world, you know, informed, give people our opinions about what's going on in South America and the Europe with La Liga, Bundesliga, all the leagues, EPL. And just basically whatever the hot topic is for that week, we're gonna go and do it mad about football style.
Hey, George, and if it's your voice that's giving some of those opinions, I'm sure people will be dying to listen when that show comes out on the airwaves on Thursday. It's been a pleasure to have you on here making your World Football Daily debut, mate. Absolutely loved having a good old chat with you about all things football from all over the place. And I hope that you can come back again and join us in the next couple of weeks or so.
Oh, man, I had a great time talking with you too, Oliver. Thank you very much for having me. I definitely appreciate it and look forward to talking to you all and the rest of the audience very soon.
We'll take care, man, and we'll get you back on as soon as we can. George Metellus there from Mad About Football joining us here on World Football Daily to take us through some of the ins and outs of the African Cup of Nations. And basically, we wanted to find a little bit out about George. We haven't had him on the show before, and I love the guy that basically kind of says, look, it's not just football in a certain league that I like. It's all over the country, all over the world, all over the planet that I want to be watching football. Knows it's South American, knows it's going to be getting to grips with some Mexican stuff this week on Mad About Football. And, of course, a big fan of European football as well. And George can be found at www.worldfootballdaily.com. That's www.worldfootballdaily.com. I was about to give out the email address for a second there. But, yes, you can find George and Mad About Football and, of course, the new Mexican football show as well on www.worldfootballdaily.com. Premium members can get that now. If you're not a premium member, subscribe and it'll be all there waiting for you. We're going to take a very quick break here on the Wednesday edition of World Football Daily. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Matthew Barker and all things Serie A, because we had some Coppa Italia last night and we still haven't touched on the weekend's action yet either. We'll be back in just a moment.